my life for getting better.
The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Thursday, May 23rd, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's also show number 200 here at the Russ Belville Show. Thank you for getting us to this point. 200 shows is quite a landmark. We're very happy to make this milestone. Unfortunately, we're not very happy about our job today because we have breaking news coming right out of here. In Southern Oregon, Southern Oregon Normal, among two other locations, have been raided by a joint task force of the Medford and Ashland Police Departments. There will be a live press conference from Medford, Oregon today with the police department at 3:30. That's just a half hour away. We're going to bring that press conference to you live here on 420 Radio. And hopefully in hour two, we'll be able to get in touch with some of the people we know down there. Unfortunately, the report I've got is that all my contacts are in handcuffs right now. So we will get you all the information we can. The story is still breaking and we're collecting information on it as we speak. Also on today's show, we have got more reefer madness than I can shake a stick at. Kevin Sabet joins us in the Behind the Headlines and in the Radical Rant today on two different things that he's put out just recently having to do with marijuana that seriously deserve debunking. In Behind the Headlines, he tweeted out about a Seattle Public Schools survey claiming that 39% of high school kids in Washington State are getting their marijuana from medical marijuana dispensaries. I'll show you the obvious math error he made in that claim and how he's trying to backtrack out of it. And then in the Radical Rant, he's got an article up at the Baker Institute's blog about how legalizing marijuana would actually be bad for civil liberties. Wow, talk about George Orwell and right is left and up is down. Legalizing marijuana would be worse for civil liberties. All right, we'll talk about that in the Radical Rant. Also on today's show, Bago Schwaggle will be joining us for Groovin' Thursday. We got some great Groovin' Thursday music coming up today from Swamp Boy Slim. But before we get to all of that, we've got our 420 Radio headline news. In the headline news, it's pretty much a legislative update today for the states of New Hampshire, Nevada, Texas, New Jersey, and Oregon. All that coming up on the Russ Belville Show right here on 420radio.org.
It's simply business, you know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business, you know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business, you know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
Let them bring in the beat.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information.
This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, May 23rd, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. New Hampshire Senate passes bill legalizing medical marijuana from San Francisco Gate. New Hampshire soon could join 18 other states and the District of Columbia in allowing seriously ill people to use marijuana in their medical treatment. The state Senate voted 18-6 Thursday to pass a bill legalizing marijuana use and possession by patients with conditions such as Crohn's disease and cancer. The bill now goes back to the House, which is expected to ask to negotiate a compromise. Governor Maggie Hassan, who supported both options when she was in the Senate, now says she won't sign a medical marijuana bill with a home grow provision, citing concerns about the state's ability to regulate such operations. The Senate passed a rewritten version of the medical marijuana proposal, striking the home grow option and making other changes requested by the governor. Among the changes were removing post-traumatic stress disorder from the list of approved conditions and decreasing the number of dispensaries statewide from 5 to 4. To qualify for medical marijuana, a person would have to have been a patient of the prescribing doctor for at least 90 days, must have tried other remedies, and must have exhibited certain symptoms. Only New Hampshire residents would qualify. Patients could possess up to 2 ounces of marijuana. Committee sends bill for medical marijuana clinics to Nevada Senate from the Las Vegas Sun. A plan to create a network of medical marijuana clinics with the owners paying hefty licensing fees was approved by the Nevada Senate Finance Committee today. The bill, SB 374, would limit the number of dispensaries to 1 for every 10 pharmacies in a county, but it sets a maximum of 40 dispensaries in Clark County, 10 in Washoe County, 2 in Carson City, and 1 each in the remaining counties. A person who applies for a state license to operate a marijuana clinic must have $150,000 in liquid assets and pay $20,000 for an initial license and $5,000 for an annual renewal. The bill would require an upfront $5,000 fee to cover processing and background checks by the state health division. Dispensaries could not be located within 1,000 feet of a public school. Texas lawmakers passed drug testing bill for unemployment insurance, kill similar legislation for welfare. From the Huffington Post, Texas came a step closer to requiring some applicants for unemployment benefits to first undergo drug testing when lawmakers gave final approval to a Republican-backed bill mandating such checks on Wednesday. The measure, which passed the state House 104-42, had already passed the state Senate. Texas Governor Rick Perry had earlier urged legislators to require drug tests for those seeking unemployment or welfare benefits in the state. A separate bill mandating drug testing for certain welfare applicants passed in the Senate, but failed in the House on Tuesday after chamber Democrats managed to block it from coming to a vote before the midnight deadline. Bill would help Scotch Plains toddler other sick kids get medical marijuana from NewJersey.com. Moved by the plight of a toddler with seizure disorder, two Union County lawmakers announced today they have drafted legislation that would revise the state's medical marijuana law to make it easier for children who qualify for the program to benefit. Vivian Wilson has Dravet syndrome, a rare and severe form of epilepsy that conventional medicine cannot control. But before her parents, Megan and Brian Wilson, may buy marijuana for her, state law says they need the approval of a psychiatrist, a pediatrician, and the doctor treating the child's illness if the pediatrician is not in charge. The bill would require pediatric patients to have to obtain only the treating physician's approval, the same requirement as for adult patients. Medical marijuana, braids, and cornrows, Oregon legislature today from OregonLive.com. Today, the state Senate is set to vote on a resolution to designate brewer's yeast as the state's microbe. Meanwhile, a medical marijuana bill to allow post-traumatic stress sufferers to use medical marijuana is set for a House floor vote. Senate Bill 281 is near the end of a long to-do list in the House and could get postponed to another day. Should jury hear of Trayvon Martin's marijuana use? From HeadlineNews.com. George Zimmerman's attorneys want jurors to hear evidence about how Trayvon Martin may have been high on marijuana the night he was shot to death. Martin's toxicology report indicates that THC, the active drug in marijuana, was in his blood at the time of his death on February 26, 2012. In court documents filed Tuesday, Zimmerman's attorneys argue the report shows Martin's judgment may have been impaired the night of the shooting and may have affected his decision-making. Zimmerman's drug use has also come up in the case. Martin family attorney says Zimmerman should have been tested for drugs the night of his shooting. A fire and EMS report says Zimmerman was on the medications Librax and Temazepam at the time of the incident. This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, May 23rd, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we're going to go behind the headlines and take a look at a tweet from Kevin Sabet, who claims 39% of all high school kids in the state of Washington get their marijuana from marijuana dispensaries. We'll show you the simple math error that made such an egregious mistake on his part. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
You still don't get it, do you? All right, let me make this as clear as I possibly can. This is your brain. This is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
Michael Phelps, Olympic superstar, 14 gold medals, world record holder. So much for that amotivational syndrome.
Everybody, just about 14 past the hour, time for us to go behind the headlines. And checking up on my Twitter feed, I saw a tweet war going on between Kevin Sabet from Project Sam and Dan Riffle from the Marijuana Policy Project. So major hat tip to Dan Riffle on this one for pointing it out, because you know Kevin Sabet, he's the Project Sam guy. He's part of that think tank trying to push for the new third way. How can we keep marijuana prohibition? How can we keep arresting people, but do it in such a way that the public will support it? That's basically his goal here. This tweet came out from Kevin Sabet in response to a report that was issued by SeattleSchools.org, and I will give you the report address right here in our chat room if you want to follow along. But basically, oh, I was blocked for a minute. All right, whatever. Basically, his tweet came out saying, just out, 39% of high school students in Washington state report getting their marijuana from a medical marijuana dispensary. Wow, I thought, gee, 2 out of 5 high school students statewide are getting their pot from dispensaries? That's shocking. It was so shocking, I had to look it up for myself, because you know me, I look shit up. So I found the question, a couple of questions, question 97 and 98 on this high school survey. And this was question 97. Percentage of students who usually got the marijuana that they used from a medical marijuana dispensary during the past 30 days. Total? 1.4%. Now I know, 39%, 1.4%. I can see how you'd make that error. I can see how that'd be kind of a conflation there. What happened is Kevin Sabet was looking at the executive summary on this document, and in the executive summary, they pointed out some line about 39% of high school kids are getting their weed from dispensaries. They made the mistake in the summary. If you go back to the actual question, percentage of students who usually got marijuana they used from a medical marijuana dispensary during the past 30 days, the total was 1.4%. And when you break that down by grade, the highest was 10th graders. It was at 2.1%, and then 11th graders at 1.6%. That's odd, isn't it? Oh, and here's the other thing. It wasn't just high school students in Washington State. This report is just for Seattle. Okay? Seattle, Washington, where there's a huge number of dispensaries compared to someplace like, say, you know, Kennewick or Spokane, where there's not. Okay? So in Seattle, where they're just overrun with dispensaries, about 1.5%, 1.4% of the kids got their weed from a dispensary. So I just couldn't let this go. I was like, there's no way even a guy like Kevin Sabet is going to try to massage a 1.4% number into a 39% scare stat. So I had to, I kept digging. It's like, what could it be that he's done here? So there's another question that comes along here. Question number 98. Percentage of students who used marijuana that came from a medical marijuana dispensary during the past 30 days. So this would be a different question, right? The first one was, usually got the marijuana they used from a dispensary. This other question is used marijuana, right? So the difference between usually and it could have happened at any time. And it may not have been my pot. I might have been in a smoking circle with kids that were smoking pot and it came from a dispensary. What did that number come up to? 9.4%. 9.4% of all the high school kids in Seattle, Washington, had smoked some marijuana that came from a medical marijuana dispensary. Now, you break down the numbers here, and you get 3.8% at 9th grade, 8.5% at 10th grade, 12% at 11th grade, and 14.9% at 12th grade. So now we've got a number that says almost 15% of high school seniors in Seattle used some pot that came from a dispensary that month. Well, look, I figure if any individual kid has about a 1.5% chance of usually getting their pot from a dispensary, and a kid might have 10 friends in a pot-smoking circle, then maybe, yeah, you get up to a 15% chance that at any time I was ever smoking pot in the month, it came from a dispensary. Maybe that's how that works out. But still, that's 9.4%. How did he overestimate this by a factor of 4? How do you get from 9.4% to 39%? It wouldn't be like you just added up all the 9th, 10th, and 11th grade and 12th grade percentages, did you? Let's check. 3.8 plus 8.5 plus 12.0 plus 14.9 equals 39.2. He did just add the percentages. Now, if statistics isn't your strong suit, let me explain this by a simple analogy. You have a pie and you eat 25% of it. Kevin has a pie. He eats 25% of it. I have a pie. I eat 50% of it. That does not mean 100% of all pies have been eaten. It means 33% of all pies have been eaten. You don't add up the statistics. You don't add percentages. What a simple, boneheaded Statistics 101 failing high college freshman error this is. So after being embarrassed by MPP's Dan Riffle over this obvious error, Sabet tweeted this. Correction. 9.4% of high school students used marijuana from a dispensary. Cancer epidemic in Washington State. Back pain. I see. Yeah, when you're caught exaggerating by 400%, go back to the classic, they're faking it to get medical marijuana. But I doubt these kids are actual recommendation card holders. They're getting a diversion of weed from a dispensary. Now, that's not good necessarily, but is it worse than the status quo? The way I look at this statistic is we've gone from 100% of the weed acquired by teenagers came from an unregulated, dangerous black market to 91.6% of teenagers got their weed from an unregulated, unsafe black market. But he continues to dig, and he's decided to stay with us. He says, now, I was right. 39% of kids got their pot from a dispensary in Seattle. Raw data release coming soon. I just confirmed with author. Oh, I'm glad you did. I can't wait for this raw data to come out. I want to see how a 9.4% with an N equals 1600 becomes 39% of those same 1600. I'm real interested in that.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man?
But at this point, we got to take a break.
Have you ever met that funny reefer
man?
Do
some different math.
Yeah.
Count how many times we can toke during this break. Ready? Go.
Go.
South Carolina, then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
I like that.
Well, I don't know what you can do, but what we can
keep the funk alive. That's right, baby. We're keeping the funk alive right here at Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink, your groovy home of soul, funk, and disco. So join me, Big Daddy, every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, at the Funky Roller Rink, where every night is Saturday night.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everybody, and happy Groovin' Thursday to you. And don't forget, tonight at 8 o'clock Pacific, we got a brand new edition of Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink. Check it out. We got 70s funk, soul, and disco for you every Thursday night at 8 o'clock, and some cool visuals as well. Put it on, take it off, smoke it up. Have a good time. All right, joining us on the phone, we've got our regular Thursday music editor. It's Bago Schwago on the line. How you doing, Bago?
I'm doing good, Russ. How are you today, sir?
Well, my friends in Southern Oregon seem to be having some problems with law enforcement. Aside from that, I'm doing just fine.
Oh, that's never a good thing. I hope one day that ends. That's what we're all hoping for, right?
That's right. That's why we're working so hard. So we got a picture of our artist up. We got Swamp Boy Slim. What can you tell us about him?
You know, these artists, I swear, they put their music up and they have their profiles, and you try to get in contact with them or get any updated information, and they never update their stuff. So I don't know, but I'm just going to read what was on his profile. It says he was born in Chicago, Illinois. His name's Ortha Johnson, a.k.a. Swamp Boy Slim, but he was raised in Gainesville, Florida, where music became his first love. He dominated open mic nights and freestyle battles until he got more serious and started writing and composing songs. He has released more than 5 mixtapes, and his first album, Swerve Music, was released in the summer of 2011 independently through hustleandswerve.net, his own indie company. He has many different approaches to music, and there is no one category to place his music in. Influences range from Motown to modern hip-hop and soul music. Listeners will not be disappointed with his wide range of tastes and styles, because he has a song for everyone. Stay tuned. And this song takes about a minute to start, but his lyrics are amazing, and it's a completely 420 cannabis friendly. It was a great one. It's called Kush.
All right, let's get into it. This is Swamp Boy Slim.
Kush, 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 blow it away. Kush, 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 blow it away.
The shit I smoke and what you smoke, a different category. Blowing that sealess crib, ain't no season this. I swear, nigga, eyes bad, cause I need this shit. Now all I need is a doctor to prescribe me that. If you a weed smoker, you know where to find me at. Blowing big buds, hypochondriac. I like it when it's real dry, like the laundromat. That make it more fluffy, and it smoke better. I take a deep breath, it make me choke better. And I'm a swisher, man, I swear I love reefer. I smoke the zigzags too, but I ain't Wiz Khalifa. I used to smoke dime bags, now I'm blowing ounces. I hit the club, rolling up, nigga, fuck the bounce.
Kush, 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 blow it away.
Buffalo soldier, call me the reefer roaster. Easy baked brownies, homies, they can't clown me. I be getting higher than that nigga Robert Downey. Junior, loser, dub, winning. Shawty getting dizzy cause them dubs spinning. I be getting tipsy in the club, spinning. All these bitches looking at a thug, grinning. So particular, smoking purple in a yellow cloud. Perpendicular, taking hits like I'm out of fouls.
This the shit, if you didn't hear me, you hear me now.
Rolling up the medical like the sticky is outside.
Kush, 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 blow it away.
I've been given a script to talk to you about drugs, rock and roll, having fun, a good time, and all that good stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, drugs is not a part of my everyday routine. It's not everyday fun. It's not good for you. All right, so listen, think twice before you do drugs, because there ain't no winners out there doing it.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
This is live breaking news for 420radio.org. I'm Russ Belville. We are covering live what will be the live stream press conference from the Medford Police Department on trafficking raid that just occurred against Southern Oregon NORML in Medford. Full disclosure, I should let you know that Lori Duckworth was the founding executive director of Southern Oregon NORML, a personal friend of mine, and I know many of the people involved. I have visited the Medford office many times, so just so everyone's clear about that. The latest information that we're getting, there's not a whole lot coming out from news. We're just still waiting for this press conference to take place before we'll find out, but this is the story that came from KTVL.com earlier today. Police serve search warrants in pot trafficking case. Drug investigators began serving 8 search warrants on 3 organizations starting at 11:15 a.m. today. Members of the Medford Area Drug and Gang Enforcement Team, as well as local, county, state, and federal law enforcement officers, executed the warrants, according to a press release from the Drug and Gang Enforcement Team. The 8 warrants are linked to an investigation of 3 marijuana drug trafficking organizations. Police allege that the 3 organizations sold marijuana from storefronts within Jackson County. Law enforcement officials will hold a press conference at 3:30 p.m. at the Medford Police Department. At that time, police will release more details about the investigation, including arrests and locations. This will be live streamed, and it is 31 after here in the Pacific time zone. They're not quite live streaming yet, apparently, so we will maintain our situation here, await for this press conference. Also, I've put the word out to my followers on Twitter. If you have any direct knowledge of this, if you're in Southern Oregon, one of my friends down there, and you're not currently in handcuffs and can actually call, the phone number here is 971-533-7111. If anyone has any comments or any news that they can add to this situation. Again, breaking news out of Medford, Oregon. Brian, the Red's got something for us.
Oh, well, Calico Castile, you know,
friend
our
of the show.
Good friend, posted about 15 minutes ago that from Southern Oregon Normal, yes, they raided our offices and detained all of us, nearly 20 people. We were trying to raise bail money for Lee and Lori. Any amount will help. Contact me, 541-864-9641, if you can help. So, yeah, basically, if you can help them raise some bail money, give a call to that number and get in touch with Southern Oregon Normal.
We'll get this link up in our chat room. And also, after the show, I'll have a little bit of time to put a page together and maybe help do some fundraising for our friends in Medford, Oregon, in Southern Oregon Normal, who've been raided by a multi-jurisdictional task force today. Important bit of news behind this, a little factoid that could help. This comes from our friend Herb Thrasher, who notes from the task force's website, quote, Jackson County is one of 9 counties in Oregon designated by the Office of National Drug Control Policy as a high intensity drug trafficking area. As a result, this task force, known as MADGE, is one of these funded task force, and MADGE received $100,000 in funding from the ONDCP in 2012. The preliminary approval for 2013 has increased to $125,000. This shows you once again how there is a federal incentive for these local county and state officials to go after medical marijuana. The feds do not want it, and they want to do everything they can to shut it down. And when we're talking about an organization such as Southern Oregon Normal, which is not just involved with helping medical marijuana patients down there in Southern Oregon, but also informing of them of their rights, educating them about marijuana prohibition, and pushing them for full legalization as the only way to truly protect patients, we can see how this has gone down. And it probably didn't help matters much that the Southern Oregon Normal office is right next door to the federal courthouse. It's literally right next door to the federal offices there. So kind of a finger in their eye, so to speak. But, of course, that doesn't warrant anyone getting busted for obeying the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act. Again, we'll get more details on this. As soon as we get the live news stream pop up, we will return to this feed and let you know what's happening. In the meantime, we're going to take a short little break. We'll come back with some rant, and we'll interrupt the rant as soon as the press conference goes live. You're watching Breaking News here on the Russ Belville Show, live from Rolla J Studios in Portland, Oregon on 420radio.org.
We've got audio.
Yeah. Cool. I think we might have something starting to come in here, folks.
We'll be right back after these messages.
There's no place in the state of Oregon where you can legally purchase marijuana. The GOR in the medical marijuana field, under OMMP 475-300, you can be reimbursed as a GOR for the cost of supplies and utilities associated with the production of medical marijuana, but that act does not allow reimbursement for labor or any other costs. So basically, that's an investigation concerns is delivery of marijuana for consideration or selling marijuana. So, and that aspect of it, throughout the investigation, Madge, witnesses have made multiple controlled buys of marijuana from each of the listed businesses. Mike, if you would give them a copy of that when we're done here. But it outlines the locations where these storefronts were selling or distributing marijuana for consideration. Southern Oregon Normal, the 300 block of West 6th Street. Puff and Stuff, the 100 block of Clear Lake Avenue, number A in Medford. The Green Compass, which is the 1700 block of East McAndrews Road in Medford. And the Compass in the 500 block of 2nd Street in Gold Hill. So today, May 23rd, approximately 70 law enforcement officers from various local, county, state, and federal agencies assisted us. When I say us, I'm referring to Madge, because Madge is the countywide drug and gang enforcement team here that is being housed at the Medford Police Department, serving 8 search warrants in Southern Oregon, 4 on Jackson County businesses, 3 on Jackson County residences, and a rural Josephine County property that I'll mention in a minute, all again involved in the delivery and manufacture of marijuana. In addition to the listed businesses that I mentioned, the first 4 that I talked about, search warrants were also executed at the following locations: the 3100 block of Hyacinth Avenue in Medford, the 2700 block of North Keene Way in Medford, the 2600 block of Tahitian Avenue in Medford, and the 3300 block of Dick George Road in Cave Junction, Oregon, which is in Josephine County. We're still in the process of seizing a significant amount of evidence that includes the following: marijuana, marijuana plants, documentation, and weapons. A list of what will be seized and the locations where they were seized will be provided later, but right now this is still ongoing, so that total list of items seized isn't completed yet. So there will be a list provided once all that evidence is collected, documented, and stored. On May 22, 2013, the Jackson County Grand Jury issued arrest warrants for the following subjects: Leland Duckworth, Lori Duckworth, Dave Bond, and Michael Shano, for the listed charges and bail amounts that I'll go through in a minute. They've all 4 been taken into custody and will be lodged at the Jackson County Jail on those following charges. So those are included with that as well. With me today is Lieutenant Brett Johnson, who is the commander of MADGE. He's also a Medford Police Lieutenant. And also with us is Ginger Greer, the Deputy District Attorney that will be prosecuting these cases. So I'm going to refer to them for specific questions if they can answer them. But David Bond was charged with conspiracy to commit unlawful delivery of a controlled substance within 1,000 feet of a school, marijuana, 4 counts, and conspiracy to commit unlawful delivery within 1,000 feet of a school, marijuana, 4 counts. His bail is $200,000. Laura Ruth Duckworth, charged with conspiracy to commit unlawful delivery of controlled substance within 1,000 feet of a school, marijuana, 11 counts, and conspiracy to commit unlawful delivery of controlled substance within 1,000 feet of a school, marijuana, an additional 11 counts, bail at $550,000. Leland Arden Duckworth, charged with conspiracy to commit unlawful delivery of controlled substance within 1,000 feet of a school, 11 counts. And again, conspiracy to unlawful delivery of controlled substance within 1,000 feet of a school, marijuana, 11 counts. His bail also $550,000. Michael Robert Shano, conspiracy to commit unlawful delivery of controlled substance, marijuana, 4 counts. Conspiracy to commit unlawful delivery of controlled substance, marijuana, 4 additional counts. Unlawful delivery of marijuana and unlawful manufacture of marijuana, bail $550,000. I want to thank the following agencies. This couldn't have been done without their assistance, because when you have that many locations, that much evidence that you have to be obviously searching for, retrieving, logging, transporting, along with the interviewing of multiple people and the arrest of people on arrest warrants, it takes a huge effort. I can't thank the Jackson County District Attorney's Office enough, because they've been with us from the start of an 18-month investigation. The Oregon State Police, the Oregon Department of Justice, the Jackson County Sheriff's Office, Jackson County Community Justice, the Rogue Area Drug Enforcement Team, RAID, which is out of Josephine County, the Central Oregon Drug Enforcement Team, or CODE, which is out of Central Oregon, the Ashland Police Department, the Central Point Police Department, the Eagle Point Police Department, the Grants Pass Department of Public Safety, the Metro Police Department, the Phoenix Police Department, the Talent Police Department, the U.S. Homeland Security Investigations, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Drug Enforcement Investigation, as well as the U.S. Marshals Service. So, again, that is the group of agencies that pretty much consists of those 70 officers I mentioned previously. And, again, this case remains under investigation. When you're serving search warrants, in addition to those arrest warrants, those search warrants are again to support the investigation number one, but that information may spawn additional investigation or additional charges downstream. So that is yet to be seen, but that is certainly part of this investigation. So I'll certainly try to answer a question, or we'll have Lieutenant Johnson or Deputy Greer answer any questions you all have.
You mentioned the investigation was several years in the making. What can you tell us about the investigation that led to today?
Well, originally it was complaint-driven. Subjects advising us that marijuana was being sold at these storefront locations. So, and drug investigations involve the use of informants. Some at times are named and some aren't named. In this investigation, we do have testifying witnesses in these cases, so that will be the case. And in filing criminal charges, you have to have people to testify. You don't really have a case unless you have substantial evidence to support that without it. So that's a scenario. But 18 months is when the first complaints came in, and this is where we're at today.
Was this something that just all of these locations happened to be in the investigation, or are they all related in some way?
I really can't speak to who's connected to who. Again, a lot of stuff being collected, a lot of evidence being collected, and those things come out downstream. Conspiracy charges are part of that. As far as the conspiratorial agreement and who's involved in that, we're not going to speak to that yet. Again, those are part and parcel to the criminal case that we prosecuted downstream.
What changes for the medical marijuana patients who maybe use those facilities for now? Are those facilities remain closed, or what's going to be happening with those facilities? Are they shut down?
I can't speak to the facilities. You folks could investigate that yourself, but there's other folks that would continue to run those operations. Obviously, folks can't continue to operate in the mode in which they were selling marijuana, because that's a violation of Oregon law, and that's where we got to at this point. But if there are other services that those groups or businesses are providing, they can still provide those. But you'll have to investigate as whether or not they're going to be open for whatever business they do tomorrow or the next day.
Do you have an idea of how much, a general ballpark, and how much marijuana you guys found today?
It's real early. We've found plants, we've found processed marijuana, but I haven't got any, except scant reports that I wouldn't even put out at this point. So at the end of the day, we'll have everything coming in. It's a lot of folks doing a lot of investigations, a lot of moving parts, and so we don't want to speculate. We'll give you a final ballpark with a press release when it's all done at this point. But there's going to be a lot of work to do after that. With an investigation like this, you're looking at a lot of electronic processing, documents, those things. So this is the initial stage.
And obviously, you saw it when you came here. There's people outside that are upset that obviously are either connected with these individuals or connected with the marijuana movement or the legalization of marijuana. This isn't a debate on the legalization of marijuana. It's not a debate the OMMP program or people's medicine. This is pretty specific about state law and the violation of that. You can't sell a drug. You can't sell a controlled substance in the state. You can't sell marijuana. And that is the criminal charge, and that's what we're dealing with, and that's what these people will be held accountable for as far as the delivery manufacturer for unlawful purposes, some within 1,000 feet of a school, some aren't. But again, the folks that you saw outside have a right to express themselves and lawful assembly to express their views. But that argument isn't what we are about today. That argument can take place when officers are off duty and when we're off-site here, and that is a totally different ballgame than what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is a violation of Oregon law where you cannot sell marijuana, period. You can't. It is illegal under federal law, illegal under state law to do that.
Some of the raids on the farms over the last couple of years have resulted in federal charges. Do you see any federal nexus here? I don't imagine it's a federal agent.
These state warrants and state charges, the arrest indictments were under state law, and I wouldn't speculate on whether or not the federal government would look at it or not, but this is all, as you know, as Chief mentioned, the prohibition of selling marijuana is outright in federal law. In state law, there are some limited immunities provided by the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program. In all these cases, we found that these folks were all acting outside of those limited immunities.
With this happening, if they've got dispensaries that they've been talking about at legislative, and I understand that this isn't about that so much, but is today specific for any reason?
No.
In regards to that? Today just was the culmination of evidence?
It's taken a long time, and I'm sure Deputy Agra and Attorney Johnson can tell you how long these types of investigations take. I've been apprised of this as it's going on for months, and again, I think the public doesn't realize how long long-term investigations take and how much time, energy, effort go into it. You see the culmination of events on a day like today when we have to gather enough personnel to pull something off, because if people find out, they may take measures to try and reduce their culpability or destroy evidence or whatever. So people say, well, why do you do it all at once? Why do you do the big show? Why do you do this? Well, in large investigations where there's certainly the chance that you could lose evidence if you take action here and not take action here, there has to be a combined, organized effort to do that in order to make your case better. And that's the business that we're in, is to enforce Oregon law, number one. And if we have a criminal case, we want to present the best case possible to the DA's office. So as far as timing on what day it is, what time it is, there's a lot of investigative tactics involved in when you do it and how you do it, and that concerns the work that we've done previously about when people are at certain places, when they're not at certain places, when things are open, when things aren't open, when business is done, when business wasn't done. So there's a lot of tactical things that we get to decide because it's our case.
Did you guys know there was a memorial happening there today, and maybe that helped out knowing when people would be there?
I'm not familiar with the memorial that you're talking about.
No. That was something that was
She's referring to there was a memorial at Southern Oregon Normal today, apparently, for a friend that had passed away. And it came as quite a surprise to all of us.
I was just wondering if that was part of the tactics.
I mean, I certainly apologize if we stepped in the middle of a memorial for a death. Certainly not trying to be cold-hearted or to step in someone's way that's honoring the dead. But I wasn't aware of that, and I don't think anybody else was either.
No. When we set up the date, when you bring this many people together, you have to set out a date a ways away so that you can marshal these kind of resources. And in doing so, we certainly weren't looking to try to capitalize on anything like a memorial.
Last question for me. Also, how much did it cost for a large-scale operation like this to get to pull off?
Well, I can't put a dollar figure on that. I mean, there's a reciprocal agreement with agencies that we deal with. I mean, we assisted Klamath Falls last week in an event that occurred there because they needed additional resources. So we went to Klamath Falls. We enlisted the resources from Code from Central Oregon that came over here to help us along with Justin McKinney. So I wouldn't say services agreement, but at least a reciprocal agreement, a gentleman's agreement in the business that we are in, that if someone needs assistance and it's reasonable for us to help them, that we will do that and we will ask for the same thing in return. So obviously there are some people that are going to work overtime on this. There's a lot of people here that were working on their regular shift. So I really couldn't put a dollar figure to it. But it, as far as the business that we are in, this is expected as far as when you're budgeting for a 1 or 2 year budget, that you're going to have to budget for those type of things based on historical data and based on the type of work that we do.
Chief, the control bodies that you're talking about, did those happen at both the dispensaries and these personal residences?
This case is all about purchases that were made at the storefronts, and then the additional search warrants were in support of that. In a lot of cases, when people are selling marijuana, they might have a grow site off their other sites, so. Yes, our purchases were from the storefront.
From the stores.
From the dispensary storefront.
But obviously in those type of investigations, if there's information that leads you to believe there's evidence at other locations in reference to that crime, you can establish probable cause and affidavit to request a warrant for an off-site location to collect evidence of that crime. You're allowed to do that. That's how we end up in other locations.
And you said weapons, any weapons in particular, any guns?
We have some firearms that have been recovered. I don't have numbers for specific locations, so I'll put that out and tie it to the specific location so that you can get a picture of that.
When we put out the release to y'all folks that we were going to do this at 3:30, we jumped off at about 11, between 11 and 11:30 today is when we jumped off in unison. I think that initial release went out to you folks probably around 12:30. This is still going. We still have a lot of people out at locations, still doing a lot of collection. So as far as being able to get it to the TV folks and get it done before the 5 o'clock shout out is the best we could do. 3:30 is about as late as we could pull this off and still do it.
Thank you.
Jamie, you got a question?
No question.
All right, thanks for coming. Make sure you get a hard copy of that.
Thank you. Chief.
Thank you. I apologize for anything that's happening out in the hallway that wasn't the intent.
That's the police apologizing for interrupting the memorial service for a Southern Oregon Normal member in their raids against Southern Oregon Normal. This is breaking news at 420radio.org. For those of you who came in late, we will be replaying this this episode in just 2 hours. It will start at 6 p.m. Pacific time, so the press conference begins at 6:30. I think we missed the first minute, perhaps. Some interesting notes from the press conference. Nice to hear him talk about the business they are in. They usually don't give it away so easily, but the business they are in, like our chat room points out, you are a paid public servant. You're not in a business. Some other notes here. How much, when asked how much these raids cost, the police said they couldn't put a dollar figure on it. It might have cost something. And lots of overtime, they mentioned. Also, these charges were for violations of state law. And when asked if there was any coincidence that they go through these task force raids at the same time the legislature is debating a dispensary bill, they respond that, no, these kind of raids are set up in the long term, takes a long time to set the date. Also, the police wanted to point out they weren't arguing about medical marijuana or legalization. This is just about the state law that you cannot sell marijuana. And the cops also said you were obviously saw people outside who were upset. Those are probably protesters out there, and I imagine there will be more. And the most disconcerting and upsetting news to me, my friend, someone who I counseled and someone who I didn't recruit her, but I definitely mentored her in my time as the Normal Outreach Director, Lori Duckworth, the executive director of Southern Oregon Normal, has been charged with 11 counts of trafficking, is being held on a $550,000 bail. In response to that, there's only one song I can play.
Fuck the police.
Right about now, NWA court is in full effect. Judge Dre residing. In the case of NWA versus the police department, prosecuting attorneys are MC Ren, Ice Cube, and Easy motherfucking E.
Order, order, order. Ice Cube, take the motherfucking stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help your black ass?
You goddamn right.
Well, won't you tell everybody what the fuck you gotta say?
Fuck the police, coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad, cause I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Fuck that shit, cause I ain't the one for a punk motherfucker with a badge and a gun to be beaten on. And thrown in jail, we can go toe-to-toe in the middle of a cell. Fucking with me, cause I'm a teenager with a little bit of gold and a pager. Searching my car, looking for the product. Thinking every nigga is selling narcotics. You'd rather see me in the pen than me and Lorenzo rolling in a Benzo. The police out of shape, and when I finish, bring the yellow tape to tape off the scene of the slaughter. Still getting swole off bread and water. I don't know if they fags or what. Search a nigga down and grabbing his nuts. And on the other hand, without a gun, they can't get none. But don't let it be a black and a white one, cause they'll slam you down to the street top. Black police showing out for the white cop. Ice Cube will swarm on any motherfucker in a blue uniform. CPT, punk police are afraid of me, huh? A young nigga on the warpath, and when I finish, it's gonna be a bloodbath of cops dying in LA. Yo, Dre, I got something to say.
Fuck the police.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, I had another rant queued up for the day, but after that press conference, I just got to get a few things off my chest. So, Madge, so, you little high-intensity drug trafficking area grant benefit recipients can't do even the simple basic accounting to tell us how much money you just wasted to put my friend behind bars with a $550,000 bail for getting marijuana plants to sick people. For getting medicine to people who the state of Oregon has deemed it's okay to use it. I have been to Southern Oregon Normal. I have seen their operations, and I know they are very diligent about making sure everyone involved in the situation is registered under the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program. This wasn't opening up some kind of storefront to sell weed to teenagers. This was to get medicine to veterans, to disabled people, to paraplegics, to people with cancer. I have seen these operations. I know what these people are up to, and you cops out there who went all gung-ho on this, getting your overtime pay on this, are going against the will of the people. The most recent poll to come out here in the state of Oregon shows 51% strongly believe marijuana should be legal, taxed, and regulated. Not for people with cancer, not for people with AIDS, but for people with none ya goddamn business why we want to use it. This needs to be legal. This waste of money and destruction of lives needs to stop. And all your mealy-mouthed little press conference comebacks about, oh yeah, we found some weapons. It's fucking Southern Oregon. Of course you found some weapons. Somebody's got a hunting rifle in the back. Somebody's got a shotgun. Maybe somebody's got a pistol when they're out there in the middle of fucking nowhere to defend themselves. Trying to wrap this up as if it's some big conspiracy, some big drug trafficking organization, when the work those good volunteers are doing, and remember, they're volunteers, they're not making money off of this, with the volunteers down there trying to keep sick people from having to go to the drug traffickers, from having to go to the murderous Mexican cartels to get the medicine that just keeps them functioning, keeps them out of bed. How can you live with yourselves at night? Well, I understand how. You get a fat paycheck for it, don't you? You get a fat paycheck, you get some overtime pay, and you get to spend your time busting people who are peaceful and cooperative rather than going after rapists and murderers and arsonists and thieves and people who beat their wives and people who lock their pets up outside in abysmal conditions or whatever the hell else. Number of things are probably more important, higher up on the agenda for most of the people in Southern Oregon than going after responsible, average medical marijuana people who are trying to make the best of a fucked up situation where the state says, oh, you're sick, you can have marijuana, but there's nowhere you can go get it. This is abominable. This is execrable. This is barbarity. It's savagery. It's got to end. It's got to end now. No more medical. No more trying to decide who's sick enough, who's good enough, who's jumped through enough hoops. Stop ruining people's lives over a plant. A plant that either evolution or your God put here for some reason. I need to take care of my blood pressure. We're going to take a break. Hour two is next. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes out.